Both this morning's Old Testament and Gospel readings showcase, if you will, anger, specifically righteous anger. Of course, when we're angry, our anger always feels like righteous anger, doesn't it? When we're angry, we're apt to see something unjust in the situation that caused us to be angry. But righteous anger is, in fact, when we experience that emotion on behalf of another person or group of people whom we believe to have been wronged in some way. If you are angry at how the government is treating the people of the Standing Rock Sioux Nation who want to prevent a gas pipeline from being driven through their lands, even though you've never been to North Dakota, you're not a member of the Sioux Nation or even a Native American, that is righteous anger. If you're angry at the way members of the Yazidi faith in Iraq have been oppressed in their towns and villages that fell under the control of the Islamic State, even though you're not yourself a Yazidi, you've never met a Yazidi, and until 2 years ago, you had never even heard of the Yazidis, that is righteous anger. The prophet Isaiah had it, John the Baptist had it. Isaiah was angry at how the Assyrians were oppressing the people of Israel in the 8th century BC, and he expresses that righteous anger in today's Old Testament reading. Isaiah envisions a future where justice will come down with great force upon those who oppress the innocent. Centuries later, John the Baptist says to the hated Pharisees and Sadducees, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" No one in the New Testament does righteous anger better than John the Baptist. The prophet Isaiah and John the Baptist are two of the most revered figures in Holy Scripture. At no point are they ever reprimanded for their anger. Jesus does not tell John the Baptist, "Look, John, you seem stressed. Why don't you just try to mellow out a bit?" We are to understand that they are right to be angry. The question is not whether we should experience righteous anger, but what we should do with it. And what do Isaiah and John the Baptist do with their righteous anger? Do they sit down on the ground and grumble or yell at passersby? Well, John does, in fact, yell. It's hard to imagine the words, "You brood of vipers," coming out any other way. But in all the words we hear from John this morning, he only tells those who have come to him for baptism, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to do one thing. He tells them, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." And the word repentance here can be understood as transformed thinking. In other words, if your thinking about how you live your life has changed, if your thinking about what really matters in this life has changed to be in accordance with the path of righteousness, wonderful. Now, show that with your actions. Bear fruit worthy of your transformed thinking. Prophet Isaiah goes this morning from the stark example of righteous anger in verse 4 of chapter 11, "The Lord shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." One of the most famous images of peace, tranquility, and harmony in the entire Bible, just 2 verses later, when he says, "The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox." If you're looking for a biblical justification for vegetarianism, that last bit does pretty well. How can Isaiah go from saying, "The Lord shall kill the wicked," to "The wolf shall live with the lamb"? It's Because Isaiah is showing us, by using the example of the Lord himself, the way that we ourselves must travel. We too must go, and go as fast as we possibly can, from wanting to punish or even destroy, to living in peace and harmony. That transition takes repentance. It takes transformed thinking. And it will largely mean understanding and overcoming fear, fear in ourselves and others. It doesn't necessarily mean that you must instantly forgive and be close friends with someone who has hurt you deeply. Sometimes there are people in this world who have wounded us so deeply that having them back in our lives may simply not be possible or advisable. But both Isaiah and John are setting our sights on a path that begins with anger and arrives at peace. Now, we've been talking about Isaiah and John this morning, but let's conclude by talking about the one person we don't see in this morning's gospel reading, Jesus himself. And this is, of course, one of the very few gospel passages we'll have in the course of the entire year where Jesus isn't front and center. He's not even there. Jesus shows up in the very next verse. But we go two more chapters before we hear even a word of his teaching. And to get there from here, we go from the final verse this morning, where John says of Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. To these famous words from Jesus, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Not exactly a call for punishment or destruction. But it is, once again, the scriptures traveling with us along the path from anger, in this case righteous anger, to a description of the world we are to hope for and work for. Righteous anger, and perhaps anger of any kind, is a catalyst. It's not a destination. The Bible shows us that this morning as it sets a path before us from Isaiah right through Jesus himself, that we too might have our thinking transformed and bear fruits worthy of repentance. Amen.